Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. We're glad you could be with us. In the studio with me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson. And this past week, we've been kind of had a theme kind of running through our whole discussion here, dealing with the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and that is the issue of truth. Some might be uncomfortable that we're willing to talk about some of these things, even though John Taylor, as I've been mentioning this past week, said that we should be able to openly discuss these issues. In fact, he said that he wouldn't want to be part of anything that does anything underhanded or even secret. George Albert Smith, back in 1871, August 13th, 1871, you can find this quotation in the Journal of Discourses, volume 14, page 216, he said, "If a faith will not bear to be investigated, if its preachers and professors are afraid to have it examined, their foundation must be very weak." I tend to agree with that quote. What about you, Eric?
I mean, we have to lay out the breadth of what each of these religions are talking about. I mean, we're talking about evangelical Christianity, what we're saying, versus what the Mormon faith says. And let's lay it out. Let's let the facts dictate. Let's let the Bible speak for itself, God's revelation to us, and be able to determine that, I think, is the most logical choice.
Well, especially when you have Brigham Young himself saying, take up the Bible, compare the religion of the Latter-day Saints with it, and see if it will stand the test. Basically, what we are doing is we are following the guidelines of what Mormon leaders have told us to do. If we're going to understand this faith, first of all, we need to be familiar with the teachings that have come forth from those who have authority to talk about these teachings. And we know from our study of Mormonism that this comes from the top, the First Presidency. They are the ones that have the authority to discuss doctrinal issues or change doctrinal issues. That their priesthood goes down to the rest of the believers in the LDS Church. A lay member's priesthood never goes up. It never goes up. When you have a Mormon tell you, well, this particular leader was wrong when they taught such and such a teaching, does that person really have the authority to correct a leader in the Mormon Church? No, they technically do not. Now, they could be right. They could be right. But that does not give them any authority to dictate the direction of the church. In other words, if that leader did teach this, and this is a binding teaching, let's say it was taught in conference, or it was backed up from the standard works, or something like that, then a Mormon would have to fall in line on this. And an individual Latter-day Saint really doesn't have the authority to question a lot of these teachings, at least not publicly. And really, when they do that privately, like if in a conversation with me, they're not selling their Mormonism very well with me, because one of the claims of this church is that they have Latter-day Revelation and they have living prophets and apostles guiding them. Well, when I hear a lay member of the Mormon church telling me that statements by their leaders are just mere opinion and that they don't agree with them, they don't seem to show much respect for one of the primary principles of their church, and that is this Latter-day Revelation that they talk about so often.
Bill, in the last couple of decades, we've seen this movement to making Mormonism look as quote-unquote Christian as possible. In fact, Mormons oftentimes get very angry with us and say, well, we're Christian too. That's one of the big points that a Mormon will oftentimes make with us. But would you say, Bill, that part of the problem, I think, is oftentimes, and especially talking to Christians here, if the Christians are listening, that the language gets in the way, because when we're talking about God the Father, when we're talking about salvation, when we're talking about Scripture, so many Christians have come to us, and maybe you're listening to us right now saying, well, you know, I know Mormons, and they're Christians too, because they believe the same things I do. How do we deal with that?
That's a major problem. If you're going to communicate with anybody, you have to speak a language that both of you understand. And if you are defining words that I may be using differently than the way I would be defining them, we're not communicating. And that becomes a major problem because the Mormon Church has, they've excelled in using terminology that we as Christians over the centuries have used, but they have undermined those time-tested definitions. And so if they're not defining them the same, we're not really agreeing.
Let's throw an example out, Bill. I'm the Latter-day Saint, and I'm talking to you, and I say, well, yes, we are Christians. We believe in God, the Father, and we believe in Jesus, His Son. We believe in the Holy Ghost. So what's your problem with that?
Well, I would, first of all, I would ask them, well, what do you mean when you talk about God the Father? Explain to me what you believe about God the Father. What are some of the attributes of God the Father as you understand it? And of course, when a Mormon starts going through the litany of descriptions that Mormon leaders have given regarding God the Father, we soon start to see that there is a huge difference between what they are saying and what we are saying.
Well, one of the things you're bringing out there, Bill, and this is advice as far as witnessing, should you tell a Latter-day Saint what he or she believes? Or?
No, absolutely not. In fact, we've often encouraged people to, if you're going to have a positive dialogue with a Latter-day Saint, then you need to find out what that Latter-day Saint believes personally. We cannot assume that all Latter-day Saints believe the same things. We know this from the emails we receive. We know this from having personal discussions with numerous Latter-day Saints on the streets, that even though they claim to be the only true church and they give this impression that it's all of us, you know, Protestant Christians out there that have all these different ideas, and we do have some different ideas on some peripheral issues, there's no doubt, and we'll freely admit this, but the Mormon tries to give the impression that all Mormons believe the same. Well, if you ever go on any of these Mormon blog sites, especially some of the more intellectual blog sites, you find that they are all over the map when it comes to some of their beliefs. So we can't assume that they believe really anything. So if we're going to correctly engage with our Mormon friends and family members, we need to ask them specifically what they believe and have them define exactly those terms that they're using to describe what they believe.
So asking questions, getting them to define these things. And so let's say they respond on this issue of God the Father. They say, well, God is a God of love. We're his children, you know, those kinds of things. How do you break through that then, Bill? What kind of question?
Well, you have to ask specifically, especially when you said about we are his children, what do you mean by that? Of course, as a Latter-day Saint, they would mean that quite literally. We were all born in the pre-existence as one of the offspring of God the Father and, you know, dare I say, one of his heavenly wives, because if the early Mormon leaders were telling the truth, God, they would believe, is a practicing polygamist. He has numerous wives, and through these physical relationships he's having with these wives, these spirit children are being born, and this is where we all existed before we came to mortality. We existed in this pre-existent state, waiting to take on a mortal body here on earth and go through what the Mormons call our mortal probation. So certainly just what I've just said there shows, wow, there's a big difference here.
Well,
big difference.
We need to know a little bit about this then. We can't just know our Christianity only and have no clue if we live in Utah to just be ignorant about these things. There's going to be a little bit of education. Like, for instance, maybe we could ask the question, do you believe as man is, God once was, as God is, man may become? Because that's a famous couplet. Lorenzo Snow gave it over a century ago. And most Mormons that I've talked to, when I've asked them, do you believe that? Their response has been, of course I believe it. Well, now we're on something here, because now I can say, well, I don't believe that. And they want to know why.
What's interesting about your answer on that is because I have had Mormons too say, yes, they believe it. But yet when Gordon Hinckley was interviewed back in the late 1990s, he said, that's a deep doctrine we don't know much about. I mean, this is the prophet of the Mormon church, for Pete's sake. This is supposed to be the first, you know, principle of the gospel, is knowing who God is. And Gordon Hinckley acts like he doesn't know what he's talking about, or he doesn't understand that teaching.
But then he made light of it in the next general conference to suggest that some people would say, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm the prophet. But I don't think that would have been politically correct in that interview for him to acknowledge that, because when a Christian understands what that means, and you got into a little bit of it as far as the pre-existence, and that God, according to D&C 130, was once a man who actually has a body of flesh and bone, I mean, that's contrary to everything Christianity teaches for 2,000 years.
You won't find anywhere that that type of an idea of God was ever embraced by the Christian church. And see, this raises another issue. The Mormon church claims that it is a restoration of the way Christians believed and practiced back in the beginning. But yet, getting them to support that claim with any type of tangible evidence is often very difficult. Usually what they have to do is they have to go to these really obscure sources, the Babylonian mystery religions and things like this, to try to conjure up some kind of similarity between what they believe and the early Christians, as they assume. They don't usually go to the Bible. And if they do go to the Bible, they do a horrible job of exegeting the passage in order to try to make it say what they want it to say. We would call that taking it out of context or reading something into the passage that isn't there, which is called eisegesis. And I have found many times Mormons are very good at that, sadly, because that does not give you a good understanding of what the Bible is really trying to communicate to us. But sadly, this happens a lot.
Well, what ends up happening is a lot of Mormons to support this idea that God was once a man, that he does have a body and flesh and bones. They'll go to the Bible, but they'll pull verses out of their context that you're talking about, which is eisegesis, reading into it based on improper interpretation. But you'll notice a lot of times in the Ensign and other official publications of the church, their curriculum, that they'll throw in other verses from the D&C, from the Pearl of Great Price, from the Book of Mormon, that will make their case.
Going back to what Hinckley did, what troubles me is when he says that that's a pretty deep doctrine we don't know much about. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe Gordon Hinckley did not really know about that teaching, that he wasn't real familiar with that teaching? See, I struggle with that. When I hear comments like that coming from the leadership, and in this case, the prophet of the Mormon church, I have to just sit back and go, I just don't believe that. I don't believe he's telling the truth. Especially when we know that not even a year prior to that interview, the Ensign magazine had a whole article on that subject. Doesn't Gordon Hinckley read he doesn't now, but I mean, didn't he read the Ensign magazine, his own material? How would he have not known?
Well, and we know, Bill, and if you live in Utah, you know that the church is very conscious of public relations. And I think, again, that's why in the last two decades especially, I have seen a movement to being more politically correct. We're Christians just like you, not to emphasize differences, but rather similarities. And we see a lot of problems with that.
Well, I struggle with that because when they use comments like, we're Christians just like you, it doesn't take long by asking just a few questions to show that that's really not true. They really aren't Christians just like us if they're talking about theologically. That certainly can't be the case. And I think this needs to be brought up. We need to be honest with our Mormon friends, and we need to challenge them on these issues and hopefully get them to clarify some of these things. And that's what's so important when you're talking with someone, and what we want to emphasize here is that you ask the questions, find out where that individual is, and then you can take the conversation from there.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.